Okay, we're starting at the top of Pafkim Moment Aleph. We're discussing Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether Isho is Mishum Chita, but Isho Mishum Memono. Right? What is the factor that makes one chayiv for the mazik of Eish? So the Gemara begins, maybe a second line, Amar Rav, Koshele Abai, Lamanda Amar, Isho Mishum Chita. It says the problem with the one who believes that the Eish, the reason that you're chayiv in Eish is because of Chita, meaning that it's attributed to you, it's your koach that it's spreading the fire. Why? Because tamam be'esh to patarachman on hecha mishkachala. Right, there's a principle in esh which we discussed a little bit before. We'll get into more detail later on, which is that by esh you're only chayim for things that are begalui, things that are exposed or visible to the eye, things that are submerged or hidden inside of, for instance, a pile of grain, and you stick some sort of money in there, a pile of money, and then it gets burnt up, the person, the fire, you're not responsible for that which is tamun, that which is buried inside of the pile. So where it says, Hecha Mishkachata, how could you posit, if Isho Mishum Chitav, why should there be any distinction between tamun and not tamun? That's Rashi and Tosfos points going over here. When you're talking about Isho Mishum Chitav, you're talking about Adam HaMazik. By Adam HaMazik, there are no differentiations. Adam HaMazik is Chayiv in all instances, for all situations and all occurrences. By Mamon, when it comes to Mamon, for instance, by Shor, Shane, Regel, Karen, each one of them has a unique din, and the Torah has different times when you're Chayav, you're Patur, there are differentiations or distinctions. So if you talk about Isho Mishum Mamono, you can talk about these types of distinctions, but if you talk about Isho Mishum Chitav, which is simply Adam HaMazik, or an extension of Adam HaMazik, we don't have such distinctions that are drawn. So when Vinechle, so he answered him, Kigon, Shnapot Leikalo to Chaser. So there was a fire in a given courtyard. The wall fell down, meaning that there was a wall that would have contained the fire. That wall fell down. The wall fell down, not because of the fire. Independently, the wall fell down. And the fire continued to spread outside of this courtyard. And it did damage in another courtyard. The hatam kalulei chitav. At that point, his arrows have ended. Meaning, what does that mean, his arrows have ended? Meaning that when he lit the fire, the extent to which the fire would have spread was only within the courtyard that it was contained in, because the walls were there. When the wall falls down, that's not, as the Nebuki Yosef phrased it, it's not when he embedded the power in this chetz to fly, it wouldn't have made it outside the walls of this chaser, because there was contained, or there were walls there. Now that it spreads beyond the walls, his chitzim, his arrows have finished. And now when he's going to be obligated beyond that point of time, right, it's not going to be because of Isho Mishum Chitzav. You can't have his arrow, if his koach has ended when the wall, it hits the wall, then why is there a distinction between Galui and Tamun? I mean, his arrow is done for everything. I mean, he shouldn't be held accountable either for Galui or for Tamun. I mean, that it's either or. You can't have one be yes, one be no. It should be the same. Says Ella, the man the Islay Mishum Chitav, Islay Nami Mishum Mimono. Right, the one who holds that Isho Mishum Chitav holds not only Isho Mishum Chitav, but also Isho Mishum Mimono. That means that when it reaches the fence, at that point in time his chait is ended. But that doesn't mean that his mamon is ended. You're still responsible for your shur, right, that goes beyond that point. Kigon, Shayalo the Godra, Velo Gadra, that he had the opportunity to re-wall or wall in the fire. And he doesn't take that opportunity to wall in the fire. So again, technically, Mishum Chitav, right, that is gone, because when he lit the fire, when the fire was set in motion, there was a wall there. The wall falls down. Now he has the opportunity to rebuild that wall. When he doesn't take that opportunity, when it goes beyond that wall, it becomes Isho Mishum Mimono. It becomes like what? The Hatam Shorohu. It becomes like his shor. The Lo Tafach Be'apeh, that he didn't lock up, that he didn't close the door in front of his shor. So it's over here. He didn't close the courtyard in front of his fire. Now his fire goes out and does damage. It's his mamon that goes out and does damage. So now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to one who says Isho Mishum Chitav, that means that until a certain point you will have Chitav. Beyond that point, it becomes Isho Mishum Mimono. And that's how he explained the case of Tamun. The case of Tamun will be when the Chitzim end and the mamon aspect begins. Where it says, Bichim Aran Achar Damad Yidlei Mishum Chitav, Yidlei Nami Mishum Mimono. Right now, if the one who holds the chitav also holds the mamono, my benayu. What's the difference between the two opinions now? Because everybody holds the rishonim mamono, but all the rishonim point out here The Gemara, the question is not really so relevant because there are differences. I mean, there are differences when he still says Yishom, Yishom, Chita versus Yishom, Yishom, Mimono. Rashi's clear distinction is where he doesn't own the fire. Right? That's Rashi that we saw yesterday, right? When he doesn't own the fire, then if you hold Yishom, Yishom, Chita, you'll still be Chayav versus Yishom, Yishom, Mimono, then you won't be Chayav. Also, the other cases that we had yesterday, for instance, with the Gamal and with the Eved, where they have to put the fire directly on the Eved, or you can only put it on the side. They're all different types of nafkaminos. The Gemara wants to know, but rather, when it's Isho Mishum Shalo, when he does own the fire, and when it is his responsibility, what's the difference between them? The Gemara says, you can be now, the Arba'ad Barim. The difference is to obligate him in the four things. Meaning that there are actually five types of compensation that one makes when they do damage. Adam HaMazik. Those five parts of compensation include Nezek Tzar, Ripui Boshet, and Shevet. Right, that have to do with different aspects of the pain, the unemployment, right, the doctor bills, and the with the last boshet, which is embarrassing. Now boshet is left out here because one is only chayv for boshet when they do something b'mitkaven. They have to be intentionally do it, know that they're doing it, and directed at that individual. That'll be chayv for boshet. That's out of the picture. Now over here, when you're sure, when your money does damage, you're only chayv for nezek. That's the only thing you're chayv for is the damage that your money did or created. That's what you're obligated for. Right. Yeah. So that's it. So now, by Arba Dvarim, the other three items that you had to be on him, that is only by Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik will only be when you have Isho Mishom Chitav. So Isho Mishom Chitav will obligate you in the four aspects of paying back, I mean, rather than just one, which is that of Nezek. Again, Boshet is left out because there's no Mitzkavin over here. And now, the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah and says, our Mishnah says, Arachara Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Right, so now, for the loaf of bread that he took, that the dog took and ate, that he pays Nezek Shalem according to everybody. Then the question about what he pays Chatzin Nezek for, if Achokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says he pays Chatzin Nezek on the whole Gadish, right? He pays Nezek Shalem on the Chara and the Makoma Gachelet, and then the Gadish he pays Nezek, Chatzin Nezek, and Reish Lakish said no. That for the Chara he pays Nezek Shalem, the Makoma Gachelet he pays Chatzin Nezek, and then for the whole Gadish he is Tura, right? But to the Gamre. Now Gemara says, Man Chayav. Who's Chayav over here? Balakelev, right? So the one who's Chayav is the Balakelev, right? He's the one who ate the loaf of bread. And he's the one who brought the, right, the colt. The Chayav, Nami, Bal, Hagachelev. Let us say that the owner of the colt is also responsible over here. He left the colt out. His dog came, picked up the colt, and brought it over here. So why isn't he also responsible in this instance? Now the term Nami, Rashi has the gears of Nami here, which is interesting. Tosfos does not have it in his gears of. Although Tosfos says l'shitato, like before, that it also means Nami. Even though it's not written, it means Nami. Rashi actually changes the gears to read Nami, which means that it's not solely, it should not be solely the responsibility of the Baal Kelev, but also the responsibility of Baal Kelev. You have joint culpability here.
And obviously,
Mark clearly thinks it's two different owners. Even if you think it's one owner, if he's Chayav Chatzin Nezek, for instance, if he did something to Shinoi, then the Baal Kelev should be Chayav to the other Chatzin Nezek, meaning that even he himself should be Chayav Nezek Shalem, even though
from
two different angles. Exactly. We're here. She says, L'chayiv nami bal gachelet. The Gemara says, B'shishimer gachelto. No, he guarded his gachelet. He did properly what he needed to do to guard his gachelet, and he's fine. So says, Z'kishimer gachelto, my bai kelepato. Right? If he watched it properly, how did the dog end up with it? I mean, that's the whole point of watching the gachelet, is that the dog doesn't end up there. The Gemara says, B'shichatar, that a dog, the kelep dug under the wall or under the door, meaning that he tunneled under and got to the gachelet. When it says, I'm a Mari Brazer of Kana, Zoto Merit, that teaches us, Sam Daltov, Haturote, Netel Akeleth. Sam Delet is normal for a Akeleth to somehow crawl under, because if not, he only should be Chayiv Chatzin Nezek. The fact that we're Mechayiv and Nezek Shalem, with the Gabe, the Gacheleth, or either by the Makoma Gacheleth, or for the, right, the Chorar, that shows you that a normal Akeleth does dig under the door, right?
Does that mean that,
oh, very good. I thought you would ask that. Close to that's your question also. Well, if it's normal for the dog, right, if the dog is normal for it to eat out and go dig under the door, then there's not
a shmira.
Not a good shmira unless you protect under the door. So Tosfos says over here that it's not, he says, Vyesh Lomar came to Natar Kanatri Inche, Loachachura Banantve. And if a person does what's considered to be normal type of protection, the Rabbana are not going to force him to do extraordinary lengths to prevent against. Alright, it's true that dogs normally dig under, but that's not something you have to be suspicious of all the time. It's not something you're going to obligate him to do all the time. So that's, again, it's a fine line between his obligations of Shmirah versus what it's normal for a dog to do. So even though it's normal for dogs to dig under, doesn't mean that that's not the, that's necessarily the normal standard of Shmirah that we're going to hold somebody to. Alright, so now we have a case where... Right, the dog owner has to be aware that he will dig under. So now we have a case where we understand that the Baal Gesellet is not Chayav because he was Shomer his Gesellet. The Baal Gelav is Chayav, not his Shalem, because he dug his dog down under, which is not a Shinui, and he brought the Gesellet over here. Now, the Gemara says, the Ofla Heifa. Where does the dog eat the loaf, or where does he do his action over here? Elam is the Ofla, the Gadish, the Alma. He went somewhere and just ate it on some Gadish anywhere. You have to do it in the chaser ha-vizak. Right? And who said, if this guy, if the dog walks off and eats it somewhere else, why is it not the chaser vizak? Veleko, where it's missing. Where it says, well, the trick of the akhla b'gadish to bal karara. That he did eat it at the location, right? He ate the karara at the location of the person who owns the gadish. Right? So he ate the karara, he brought the chaser, it was all in the location of chaser ha-nizak. If it's a chaser ha-nizak, then he's going to be chayim for shame for eating the karara, and he'll be chayim for the gaselet, either again because of Eish, but depending on who you hold, like if you open a Mish Lakish, about the extent of what you'll be chai for the gaselet. Now the Gemara says, Tipshuk. Now the Gemara thinks, let us conclude, right? The pi para, that the mouth of the para, kechatzer ha nizak dami, is like the chatzer of the nizak. Why? The eat kechatzer mazik, if the mouth of the animal is equivalent to the chatzer mazik, lemele, he can say back to him, my bai, riftech, or riftecha, befuma de kalbai. What is your loaf doing in my dog's mouth? I mean that if that's a chazer mazik, the mazik can always say to you, what are you doing in my location? So now the Gemara is saying, if you say that the mouth of an animal is the equivalent of the chazer mazik, then the mazik can always say, what's your stuff doing inside in my animal's mouth? Right, so now you're going to ask me, this doesn't make so much sense.
Yeah,
because how did he...
I don't understand anything. What? We answered the whole thing occurred in chazer mazik.
Right.
So, okay, well, what is it we're trying to
do? The Gadish and the Zara belong to the same person.
Right, correct.
And that's where he ate everything.
Right.
Okay, that one is
the
Gemara trying to...
Where it says, well, it must be that the mouth of the animal is also Chatzer HaNizak, because otherwise now he's really in the Shane happened in Chatzer HaMazik. Because if the animal's mouth is the Chatzer HaMazik, then it's not really, that's not pure to say affair, because he's in the, and then it's Mazik, and Mazik can always say,
that's true for everything. It's always.
Oh, alright, very good. Very good, excellent. So that should be a question in chain in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, question chain. So Tosfos tries to differentiate over here, tries to, in a nuanced way, figure out what's going on in the Gemara here. So he says that, how come the Gemara didn't prove this from all the cases before? Like yours, as the David's asking, how do you have a case of shame? If you think that the mouth of an animal is chaser mazik, you'll never have a case of shame.
You can only have it for shame with a
right. And the mouth there's no shame. Right, there's no shame. So it says, why do we have to bring a proof from our case over here? You can bring proof from all the previous cases that we show that there is a chiv of shame. So Tosus wants to differentiate here. It's a very, very interesting point in Tosus. If you look down in the last one on the Omud of Kim Lamed Aleph, the wide lines of Tosus, two lines down towards the end, the left side, it says Venera the Reed. It says Venera the Reed, the Mikol Hanu de Masnisen, Lomasi the Mifshat, Lomahin the Nato Chara, Mishum the Tafa Dako, Dimacha, Behema, Peros, Bechater and Izak, Bachlavishut the Rabim, O Bechater Mazik, Chayav. The Gemara is having mean over here is that the Ikar Chiyuv is not coming from eating in the Chatzer HaNizak, but rather taking from the Chatzer HaNizak. The Mechayevinan Belekicha L'chuda. The Gemara's assumption until this point was that the obligation on the animal has not to do with the eating, but to do with the removal of the object from the Chatzer HaNizak. V'chein HaZvara Nuzet. The Gemara is the Pasha Belekicha. Once the animal does something wrong by taking it out of the Chatzer HaNizak, Malar Bachila, who cares if he eats it at this point? Once he's taking it out, he becomes responsible for the item. And then Tosfos answers up, Shma Mina, what's the Shma Mina here then in the Gemara? What is our Gemara teaching us? He says, Shma Mina, it's later on, it's a couple of lines down, Shma Mina is the Bolo Kicha Ve'achila V'chatzer HaNizak. Our Gemara is concluding over here that when it says Uvir B'Se'acher, it means not only do you need the Kicha from Chatzer HaNizak, but you also need Achila in the Chatzer HaNizak. Afu Pishein Tamba Dabar. Says, even though there's no logic to that, the Matzorech V'Achila. Says, what do you need Achila for? Once you take something, you're responsible for it. You stole it. You removed it. It's already done. The Nehezek is done. Once you take it out of its property, Alekzeira Takotufu. That's the Zera Takotufu of Bir B'Se'acher. Bir B'Se'acher requires you not only to take it in the Chatzer HaNizak, but also eat it in the Chatzer HaNizak. That's what
Tosfos. We have a case.
Right. So over there in Tosfos, that's exactly right. That is exactly where Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He brings a proof from this Gemara. Right. He says Rashi over there says it's the animal that is moving the object. Tosfos, what are you talking about? The animal moving the object has nothing to do with it. It has to do with, he said there was with Gagel by itself. One of his proofs is from here, this Gemara over here. You see that the Gemara doesn't care, right, where the animal is taking it from. It cares where it's eating it. And that's the end. That's the Gemara's conclusion over here, right? It's about where the animal eats it, not where he's taking it from. And that he proves from the fact that they're looking at the mouth of the animal to be, right, the question of where it's beer b'stei acher. Right, so that's exactly. Tosfos actually makes that distinction back on that daf. He says that I can't say, like, I don't hold a grashi about this galgal because of exactly because of this Gemara over here. Right now, right, says Tisha the pi para ke chater nizak dami. Right, that the mouth of the para is like chater nizak. The e the chater mazik dami lema lema by rifta be puma de kolbay. What's your loaf of bread doing in the mouth of my dog? Right now, the Gemara says the boiluhu pi para ke chater nizak dami or chater mazik dami. We ask exactly this question. The Gemara says the e amart ke chater mazik dami. If it's really like chater mazik, shein the chayav rachmana echam shkachala. Right, David's question: how do you ever have a case of shein? So Amar Amari Breda Rav Tana, to go home, no problem. Koshin nit chachachah b'kotel lehanata. That is the case where it rubs its body up against the wall in order to get benefit, or with tinfa b'peiro lehanata, or rolls around in peiro, so it got damaged. It's interesting here that you can... Right. Right. It's amazing here that you will actually not be able to get to the case of shame, the Ava'ab. Right. Rolling through the Toldah, the shame, which is an amazing thing. Rashi says it explicitly. It's the last five line in Rashi. You won't have any Av. Shame mamash you can't have, but you'll have Toldah to shame that will come out. Gemara says, Matzalim Marzutra, Babi'ina, Kashay, Yiva'era, Glala, Tumo. Right, so when we say Yiva'er, means to totally eliminate it. Over here, when he rubs his body against the wall, or where he rolls around the fruits, everything is still there. I mean, it's not in the same state it was before, but it's still, what? It's all there. Gemara says, Veleka, Ravina Mar, no, the case, the Shach, Salmi. The case where when he rubbed up his body against the wall, he erased some sort of drawing or some sort of writing over there, so he did destroy it entirely. Rashi Mar, the Pasub Suye. And the case by the fruits, Rashi brings two interpretations. Either that he rolled around them into tits, into cement, so he totally ruined them, they were gone for good, once he put it into the tits. Or the other possibility is that he, right, poured water, or when he was rolling around in it, he rolled in and made them into so destroyed them that they're not existent anymore. So create a case where you can get to that possibility. Right, that's the Gemara says, alright, we could create a possibility of shame in this told of shame. That can't be the proof, whether it's Chatzer Nizak or Chatzer HaMazik. So Tashma, now that's why I tried another proof. Shisa bo et hakelev, shisa bo et hanachash patur. Someone who sticks a dog or a nachash on another individual, he's patur. Why? Because it's grama b'nizikin. Grama b'nizikin is patur. Right? He didn't directly do anything. He just caused some sort of damage. Man patur, right? Who is patur over here? The Gemara says mishasef patur. He says that the one who sticks the dog or the snake on the individual, he's patur. Aval b'chayav, chayav balakelev. But nevertheless, the owner of the dog, it is chayav. I mean, you're still responsible for the action that your animal did, even though it's been incited by someone else. Now, via marks the chatzer mazik, that maybe say the mouth of a dog is chatzer mazik. Levelay, my ba yadeh, ufu mazikabat. What's your arm doing in my property? Why is your arm in the mouth of my dog? So it says, ema patur af mishaseh. Now we can say like this, that even the one who sticks or incited the dog is patur, but the balakev also is patur. Why is he patur? Because he can say that. Exactly. It's patur mazik. If that's the case, we don't have any proof from this case over here. If you say, the afkin nidve bitarte. That somehow, that it wasn't a case where he bit him inside the mouth. This is, to me, I don't know what the exact excuse is over here. But somehow, he took his teeth out of the mouth. Risarto, right, that he didn't put his hand into the mouth of the dog, but somehow the dog got his teeth out into the arm without actually being inside the mouth of the dog. Again, I don't know exactly what the circumstances are, but however this is accomplished, he got somehow bit him without having his arm inside the dog. Alright, Tashma. Hishich bo et anachash, v'yudah mechayev, v'chumim putrim. Again, he sticks the dog, he incites a nachash, a snake, to bite. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav, come and say you're patur. Now we said before, grama b'nizikin is patur. Now we have to explain the position of Rabbi Yehuda, why is he patur over here? Damar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, shvetimti lo manazim Rabbi Yehuda, eretz nachash ben shinav hu. You have to explain to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the poison of a nachash, the poison when a snake bites, that eretz is found already embedded in the teeth. And therefore, when one causes the animal to bite, it v'enshinavu umeit the pikach makish, or over there, if someone changed the gears, to read umeshich b'sayif. It's as if you hit him with a sword. The fact that you place the animal, or you push the snake onto this man's arm, and when a snake bites, automatically we know that the poison is already there, it's as if you hit him with a sword. As opposed to that, v'nachash, and then v'nachash, v'nichish. V'nachash patur the different chamim, right? This nachash is patur from the chamim. Why? Eretz nachash natsmo meki. That a nachash only has the poison, or has the venom, right, come into effect once it's bitten. Meaning that after it bites, then it sends the venom in. The venom is not ready, but it's the snake himself biting that causes the venom to be released. And when it's released, then it starts, goes after the bite took place. Therefore, who's the cause of the venom being released into the individual? The snake, not the individual. That's why the Chacham says grum over here. All he was goring was the snake bite. Once the snake bites, then it releases the venom, that's the snake already. Whereas the Rabbi Yehuda believes the venom is already in the teeth at that moment. Once he bites, the venom is already entering into the human being. So he says, the Fikach, according to the Chachamim, Nachash Tzkila, Umekish Patur. The Nachash gets killed because it killed an individual. And the Mekish is Patur. The one who caused him, who sicked him, or incited the Nachash to bite, he is Patur. What's your arm doing inside my snake's mouth? Meaning that, why should it be chayv at all? Meaning, so now the Gemara says, okay, first of all, we said that the Mekish is Patur. The only thing that we're worried about here is that you're going to kill the snake.
Alright, so the Gemara says,
when it comes to killing an animal, when it comes to an animal who has killed and needs to be put to death, we do not differentiate over here whether it's Chatar Mazik or Chatar Nizak. That is irrelevant. When it comes to killing an animal that's done, has killed someone else, for the culpability of the Mazik, the owner of such an animal, it will matter where it is, whether it's the Chatar Mazik or Chatar Nizak. But when it comes to the animal himself getting killed for killing, it's irrespective of where that took place. This is irrespective of where it took place. You can't prove anything from the fact that we killed the animal over here. Kill the animal over here because even if it's Chatar Mazik, the animal would be put to death in this instance. Gemara says, we're not Tamra. How do I know that's true, that we differentiate between, we don't differentiate between Chatar Mazik and Nizak when it comes to putting an animal to death? To Tanya. Person goes into the property of the balabai without permission. His ox goes and gores him to death. Right? The shore gets put to death, and the balim are not chayev and kofir. They're not. What are you doing on my property? What are you doing on my property? I'm not chayev for the fact that you walked into my property and were killed. Nevertheless, the shore still gets skila, still put to death. Why are the Balaam Patur make over here? The Amar Lai Bishutei, my bite. What are you doing in my property? It's not my responsibility. You shouldn't have been in here. Right? There's a big sign. Beware of the ox. What are you doing inside of my property? The Shoro Nami Lemalei, my bite Bishutei. So why can't he say the same claim when it comes to putting the shore to death? What are you doing inside of my property? You wouldn't have been dead if my shore wasn't in here. If you weren't in here without permission, my shore would be alive. Ella, the Indian Catello going me none. At conclusion, that when it comes to putting ashore an animal to death, we don't make such a claim. Now the Gemara brings a little case here. Hanu izeit beit harbu. There were some goats that belonged to beit harbo that were causing damage to Rabbi Yosef's field. Go tell their owners to keep control of them, you know, take care of them. Why, you know, guard them so they don't come over here. He says to them, why should I go over there? Yeah, Zilna, if I do go over there, I'm going to leave the door. They'll tell me, put up a fence around your field so they don't come and eat your stuff. You should enclose or fence off your property and you won't have any problems. Mar says, Igadar, Shane, Chaim, Marta, Rachmana, Echom, Ishkakala. If someone can always make a demand on the Chaser and Zah to say, you should have fenced it better, so my animal didn't enter, how are you ever going to have a case of Shane in Rishut and Izak? Shane, Rishut and Izak, the guy can always say to you, you should have had a fence there. If my animal can get in there, that means you didn't have a proper fence. If my animal can't get in there, there's no such thing as Shane anymore, because can't get into Chatz and Izak. Marzesh, Pishachatra. Same answer that we had before. There was a fence, but he dug under the fence to get into Chatz and Izak. Or the wall fell down in the middle of the night. So the Balak is dead, not aware that it fell down. Yet the animal now has access to the fields. In those instances, it works. It's okay. So it says over here that Abaye tried, just was trying to get out of going. He didn't want to go speak to these guys. He was trying to get out of it. But truthfully, he could have said to them, you know, you got to watch your shvarim. You don't obligate the guy to put up a fence. I mean, it's probably a good idea, but we don't say that. So the guy can watch his animal, and he'll still be responsible if he goes into the chazer and he's up. Okay, Makris of Yosef. Those that go up and those that come down, I mean, those that go to Eretz Yisrael, those that come to from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hani izi the shuka. These izim that are going to be shechted. The mafdei, right, that are causing losses, meaning they're doing damage. They were going to be shechted anyway, but they're waiting for the Yom HaShuk to shecht it because get more money in Yom HaShuk. And meet that they're doing damage. Matrinan bimarayu, trey bitwatazim. We warn their owners two or three times. It's like said, if they listen and they hear these ghosts, then fine. Below, I'm reading my Steve, I'm Maschato, Bekabel Suzay. I'll let you tell them, take it to the butcher right away, get your meat, and take your money, meaning that we don't allow him to wait until the Yom HaShuk, and he's not going to take responsibility for his disease. We did him chef the animal right away, and he gets the lower price, even though it's not Yom HaShuk, he'll get paid less, but we said we can't allow you to just run around and cause damage to other people over here. That's what it says in Dafka, but that is Dafka when it's a short of Shkita. That anyway is going to be killed. The short is going to Shkita anyway, so if we just be Maschime, it's a small loss over here. But not obviously if he's not going to kill because the animal's for plowing, then we just make him higher for the nezek. Now, what's the difference? You're going to say to me, what are you talking about over here? Why don't you just have to take him to din and say, you're higher than nezek? It's a clarification. Nezek, take him to the court and get paid for his nezek. Right? Says, I don't want to be bothered with that. I don't want to be bothered to have to go to court to get all my money back. So this, the Chum said, is a dispensation in the case where it was anyway going to be shechted, and he's not taking responsibility for it, we let you sheft it early. But if it's a stam shor, stam eid, that he's not going to sheft, then we don't say, go sheft it anyway. No. Then take him to court, and you get paid for your nezek. Right now, just quickly, the Mishnah is the tam, the idhu mu'ad. Right? The Mishnah says, mu'ad, koshi idhu bo, shloshi yamim. Anybody got warned 3 days that his shor was acting, you know, erratically or improperly doing damage, then he becomes a mu'ad. The tam, mikshi achzor bo, shloshi yamim. And his tam becomes a tam for 3 days. He acted appropriately. I mean, even though he's faced with the same target or the same incitement, nevertheless, he doesn't do any damage. So then he'll become a tam. He can return to being a tam. Rabbi Meir Omer, Uad Shidupo Shloshim Pyamim. Irrespective of the number of days, as long as he's warned 3 times, right, then it's enough. That's what's pointed out here that the Baalim need to know about. It's not simply that he was warned 3 times, but he's warned 3 times, and his Baal knows that he's warned. I mean, there have to be 3 instances where he's warned. And in a case, how does he become a tam again? A tam over here can't just be a tam if he's faced with 3 times on the same day. So true, even according to Rameh, who says you can become a muad if he damages 3 times in the same day and is warned in each instance, he cannot become a tam again. You cannot become a tam again if by just resisting it 3 times on the same day. Either it has to be 3 days, or if he's playing with the Tino Coast. If he's playing with the Tino Coast, then already we know that he's really on the reform. He's rehabilitated. The fact that he's staying with Tino Coast, that already shows that he's rehabilitated. So my time is to review. We'll just do review this time.
What do you mean? Does it count again?
Yeah. Once he becomes a tam, then it restarts the whole process again. My time is to review. I'm Rabbi. Pasuk says, Timol, right, when it says, how does one become a muad, right, the Pasuk says that Imper Nagaku, right, if he was already a Shorna gach mitzmol shilchom. Right? So the Gemara Dashi says, but tzmol means yesterday. Mitzmol means one additional day. And then shilchom means a third day. Velo yishmerenu bala. And then his owner doesn't guard him. Atal nizgi. That tells you on the fourth goring, he becomes chayav, nizek shalem. On the fourth time, he becomes a muaz. That's his 3 times. And then on the fourth time, he becomes a muaz. How many times? Day. Tzmol. Mitmol, Shilshom, go find that day. So it takes 3 days, and the fourth time, seems over here that it doesn't have to be a fourth day. I mean, that the fourth goring doesn't have to be on a fourth day, it's going to be a fourth time. Even though you require 3 days to become a mu'ad, nevertheless, the fourth goring does not have to be on a fourth day, it has to be a fourth time in order to become chayav. In Rashi Rabbah, Amar, Tmol, Mitmol, Chad. Tmol, Mitmol means 1 day, Shilshom is 2 days, and Leish Menu, Aizna, Chayav. Then on the third time, he becomes Chayav. So the original here is in Rashi, what's the difference between Rav and Abaye? We are explaining Rav Yehuda. Is how many times you need to wait? According to Abaye, you have to wait 3 days. And then on the fourth time, you become Chayav. According to Rav, you have to wait 2 days. And then on the third time, or the third day, you'll become Chayav. So it says that Rashi, we know Rashi reversed his position, and it's no, everybody agrees. The Bai and Rava both agree that only on the four times you become chayav, and the Gemara says in other places, mashma'ut dorshim, that there's just a difference down there, mashma'ut. Do you learn out that the three times from small, mishmol, shoshom, or do you learn out the three times, small, shoshom, below yishmereno, and then the fourth time, both of them agree only on the fourth time you're chayav, just a question of how you get the 3 days that Rabbi Yehuda is looking for. So it's mashmaut sukim dorshim, not that there's a real nafkamina between them. There is, so to bring the Rabbi Raziel, that there is a nafkamina between them. If you look on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, he brings from Rabbi Raziel, Perish the Ikebinayu, the Labayat the Dorish Losh Merenalin Dikha, Dalet, Lomashem Nezak Shalem, Ad Yom Dalet. That according to Labayat, it's not 3 days, and then only on the fourth day will you become Chayav, the Losh Merenu, have a Yom Dalet, Dumya, the small Shoshon. Because this Rush is small, Shoshon, small, small Shoshon, the Losh Merenu. All of those are days. So any day, each day until the fourth day, they'll become Chayav. Avala Roba, Lokliv Nikicha Dalet, Afilun Agach Dalet, Begimo Chayav. Right, Rabbi doesn't have a limud for the fourth goring. He says that there's three goring, and then automatically the fourth goring you are chayav. The fourth thing you're chayav does the shalev.
I don't understand your goring.
Goring
is the third goring.
No, that's with Rashi. That was the original here. It was said that Rashi told us that that's not the case. So it says mitzmol chad shoshom treiv lo yishmerenu. Right, lo yishmerenu is the third time. Hayidna, after that point chayav. Now you're chayav. Right, Hayitna is not modifying Lo Yishmerenu, but rather it's a four time. Lo Yishmerenu is the third. Hayitna, after that point, you are Chayav. That's why Tosfos reads it. Rashi reversed his position. Rashi learned like you did originally. Rashi learned like you did originally, that Rava believes that on the fourth time, you're Chayav on the third time, not on the fourth time. Tosfos rejects that from the Gemara Baba Basra. He says Rashi also reversed his position. Then Rabbi Raziel suggests that the difference between Abai and Rava is that the fourth time has to be a fourth day, or just a fourth time. And then again, Tosfos here rejects that explanation since he doesn't think that is the doesn't think that's the case at all. And then Rava and Abaye both agree that on the fourth time you are chayav, and just the difference between them is mashmot or shim. How they darshan out of the pasuk. All right, we'll stop over here.